Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So a little background, I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, and to empower people, especially adults, to own their voice and talents that come in so many different forms. So I created this space to talk with people with all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to so many different kinds of people. I spoke to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, physicist, biologist, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People define creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So I believe that sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Elena Schwartz. Elena is an international speaker, author, business, and mindset mentor who is passionate about helping entrepreneurs to scale their income and impact while creating more time freedom. After 18 years as an attorney in the music industry and the EVP and executive board member of the largest independent music company in the world, she walked away from it all to discover her purpose. Elena, welcome to the space. I'm going to find out where she is. I am not sure where she is. Okay. There we go. She's here. So Elena, press the call-in button next to the creative. There we go.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
You scared me for a minute there. I was like, where is she?
Oh, I actually had the page open and it wasn't showing that you were live. And so I thought, oh, let me go out and come back in and see if that worked. And that worked.
And it worked. Well, I am glad you are here.
Me too. Great to be here with you, Hollis.
Well, thank you, Elena. So yeah, so after giving like a little snippet of who you are, why don't you tell people, give them a little bit more information before we dive into the questions?
Absolutely. And this is going to relate, I think, to one of the questions that you're going to ask me. I started out as a lawyer in the music industry for 18 years in New York City, a very successful practice. And my career culminated as the executive vice president of the largest independent music company in the world at the time. And when I got to that level of success, I was actually never more miserable. I mean, from the outside, it looked like I really had it all. You know, great two-bedroom apartment in Manhattan, awesome relationship, traveling to exotic locations multiple times a year. But I was really miserable and it started to make me very, very physically ill. And I walked away from it having no idea what I was going to do next and smacked right dab into what I call a dark night of the soul, which is, some people might say it's a midlife crisis, but it usually, first of all, it can happen at any age and it usually births purpose. And that's what it did for me. And in the process of understanding, that I needed to walk away, that really what was happening was that being a lawyer was my parents' agenda. It wasn't mine. And looking to discover what my purpose was, I just giving up my identity, moving out of New York City, you know, all kinds of things. There was a confluence of events that led to this dark night of the soul. And I was in a really deep, dark place. And I started to learn tools and techniques that helped me rewire my brain and understand the nature of reality in a very different way. And from there, my purpose was birthed. I mean, obviously, it was always in me. I just wasn't able to see it. But through that, I was. And it helped me understand that it was melding the business acumen that I had for those 18 years with this mindset piece to help entrepreneurs really scale their business in a sustainable way. Because I've lived that 60 to 80 hour work week, and I really wanted to build a lifestyle business. And I know that most people go into business to get out of the corporate lifestyle that they had, but to do live their purpose, do what they're passionate about, but they don't anticipate having built another job for themselves that they've trapped themselves in. So my, you know, purpose is to help liberate people to be able to give their gifts to the world in a greater way that's actually sustainable.
Whew. Okay. Well, with all that, my first question is actually, when you were in New York City, did you have windows?
I did. I actually had windows in both my office. And
wow.
Yes, I know. In both my office and in my home. I had a balcony in my apartment.
Oh, my God. See, New Yorkers ask, when you say where you live, they say, well, how many windows do you have? Do you have light? And
that I had light, windows, a balcony, a storage space, and a parking spot.
Holy crap. You were living it big, man.
I know.
That was the most important question out of everything that you just said. No, but I mean, seriously, this living in New York, it really does. That is a real question. And we lived in an apartment, not to get into one of our apartments had three windows, two that faced air shafts and one that faced an enclosed courtyard. So the only way we could tell what the weather was by looking at the reflection off the building across the way.
Wow. Wow. I understand that. I had much bigger views. Yeah. Much bigger views.
Which kind of interestingly enough goes with this whole thing of lifestyle and what you actually really want. So words that you mentioned in there were, which I'm looking forward to covering, are identity, this deep, dark place that you mentioned. But then with that is, you know, you come to the light. And this concept of understanding reality, what reality is at that moment, because reality changes and it's our perception of things. So I'm really interested. I'm excited to dive into this.
Awesome.
These areas. So this is going to be fun. So I want to welcome the people here live. Thank you so much for being here. Any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box where we can see them and we can communicate that way. So, okay. So Elena, we're going to do a would you rather before we dive into the first question. So here we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you rather be a famous movie star or a member of your favorite popular music group?
Ooh. Okay, I'm going to have to go with, oh my gosh. You know, as a kid, that's really interesting because my initial reaction was the famous movie star. And the only reason that I say that is not for the fame. But when I was a kid, I used to really love to act. I was actually the lead in grammar school in every one of my plays and in high school as well. And so for me, acting, I think I was such a up until I was 14 and I had a traumatic brain injury, I was actually a really introverted, shy kid. And I think that acting was a way of me expressing, you know, my inner life in an outward fashion. So I would have to go with that.
Oh my gosh. There was so much in that. Wow. Wow. Wait, so I have to ask if I can, you know, the traumatic brain injury, what happened when you were young?
At 14, I had an accident and it caused a traumatic brain injury. And I literally had difficulty thinking, forming sentences, walking straight. I really owe a great deal of gratitude to my mom because my mom was told by a neurologist that it would be permanent, that I would constantly have, you know, this would be my new normal. And my mom didn't believe it. She said that she saw indications from me that I was really in there. And we didn't know about neuroplasticity back then, but my mom essentially helped me rewire my brain by giving me puzzles and throwing balls till she said the day that I caught a ball, she knew I was really going to be okay. And so it's amazing because that's actually what I do with my clients is help them rewire their brains. And so it's come full circle for me, you know, in my life, which is pretty fabulous.
It's pretty fabulous. And oh my God, your mom is a rock star.
Total rock star. Yes.
She is. It's yeah. Isn't it great when you can kind of, you have an advocate that's just like, nah, I don't accept that answer. Like, I see something different, and I don't think that's the way it's going to go.
Yes, yes. And again, we didn't even know about the brain research back then, you know? So the fact that she just went on her gut instinct and her love, you know, and devotion for me is, you know, pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Our daughter had 4 years ago now, she had a procedure where she had to have both of her jaws broken and reset and all this stuff because of the position of her jaw and how it's kind of affected her in many ways. And I guess this is, I don't know, I guess I'm just bringing it up because it's as a parent, when you advocate for your child, sometimes you're not ready to hear things. Mm-hmm. And we went to many people, but this one person said, oh yeah, without even, he said, she's going to need this surgery. And I said, well, how do you know? Like, mm-hmm. You just look at everybody and say that. He goes, you're not ready to hear this, are you? I'm like, no. So I was back there in about 2 years. I was like, okay, I'm ready to hear it now.
I totally relate because my son had a type 3 malocclusion himself. And my former father-in-law was a dentist who said he was going to need the surgery. And I'm like, I'm not buying that diagnosis.
I don't agree.
I don't agree. And he didn't need it. He didn't end up needing it. We found somebody who actually could manipulate his jaw and move it without having to have the surgery. So so I was right.
There we go. You were right. Yay, you. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is going to be good. Okay, so Elena, how do you define creativity?
You know, I want to bring again that full circle. When I was a lawyer, I was so left brain and analytical that I viewed creativity in a very different light. It was like, okay, people who are creative and, you know, drawing, art, writing, whatever, my creativity showed up in the kitchen. I've always been an amazing cook. And I thought, oh, this is my creative expression. This is how I show my creativity. And then as I came to understand the nature of reality in a really different way, I realized we're all creative beings. We are actually creating our reality every minute of the day. And it becomes a conscious choice to understand how to utilize the tools so that we create what we want rather than let our past patterns create it for us subconsciously. So my definition of creativity has completely changed where I don't look, we have different expressions of what that looks like in the world. And some of those may be more creative expressions, but we're all creative at the core.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the actual definition that you would give it, what can you please repeat to me what you were saying? Like if you were to give it in two sentences or a sentence, creativity is
the ability to create your reality moment to moment in the way you choose.
There we go. Create your reality moment to moment. Mm-hmm. In the way that you choose. So if we take like a little time travel back to you being a lawyer in your lawyer days, with the lens that you have now, how would you have described yourself as being creative then?
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story, and this perfectly describes the story. I was in I was working for a AM 100 law firm, so a top law firm in the country, in their entertainment department. And I had been with one of the partners in his firm, and it was a boutique, as most entertainment firms are, they're boutique small firms. And he wanted to go and become the New York entertainment department in this larger firm, and he asked me to come with him. And I wasn't a full-time employee. I was actually filling a hole. His partner had left, and he needed somebody to fill the hole really quickly. And I just stepped in, and we didn't even know, you know, where that was going to go. Excuse me. But in the process of that, I did not want, like, it was so clear to me that I did not want to work in that corporate environment. And he basically gave me an ultimatum, either come and stay full time. He wanted me to be there full time, or you're going to have to leave. And I said, okay, see ya. Right. And I had no idea what I was going to do next. And I remember saying to my husband at the time, I've never been without like the next thing. I've never just like gone into the unknown without the next thing. And he said, take some time off. You've like worked really hard. Take some time off and figure it out. And I went to a yoga class that night, and the entire theme of the yoga class was on removing obstacles. And by the time I walked, perfect, right? And so by the time I walked out of the yoga class, I said to him, okay, I'm going to take some time off. And the next day I went with this partner up to a recording studio to tell one of the managers of the top clients I was working with, the firm's clients, that I was leaving and what was going to happen as a result. And as I was walking out the door, it was the holiday time, and I left my now ex's present up in the recording studio. And I said to the partner, because we lived in the same area, we lived on the Upper West Side. And I said, you go ahead and I'll just catch my own cab. No problem. Went up to get the present, came down. And as I was walking out the door, the manager that I had been meeting with upstairs happened to be driving by the building. And he said, hey, Elena, hop in. I'll give you a lift home. And in those 40 blocks, he said to me, if you hang out your own shingle, all my clients will come with you. And that to me is creation.
Wow. So that was completely stepping into the unknown and faith.
Yes. Yep. Faith and trust that all would be well, all would work out. It was working for me. I would be taken care of and the right opportunity would come along.
So I love this. I always love hearing about this serendipitous events. Like here you were in this crossroads. You expressed it verbally. You go to a yoga class, which is specifically about removing obstacles.
Yes.
And then... These are the times when if we're really paying attention, we're like, really?
Right. Okay. Exactly. I could not. I mean, I obviously did create that, but I couldn't have aligned it more perfectly myself, like consciously.
Yeah. Yeah. So the person that you got into the cab with who said people will follow, was this with the law firm that you were with the music industry?
Yeah, it was. He was a manager of some, you know, top clients in the music industry, and it was actually his Range Rover I got into, and he drove me home. And yeah, it was in that. So I stayed in the music industry for a couple more years, but with my own firm. So I then had my own firm before I went in house as the EVP.
Got it.
Yeah.
How did that?
To me, that was creativity, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like this sculpting. I always see things as like sculpting and shaping. It's like our worlds are just being, it's like clay. It's kind of being molded and we can take it apart. We can shape it. We can, sometimes if we keep it in place and don't take proper care of it, it will crack.
Yes.
And break. There are many, there are many ways to see it, but I think it just boils down to awareness too and how we choose to perceive it.
Huge amounts of awareness. And that is the truth of what I really do because, you know, I work in absolutes in many ways. So what our reality looks like is ever changing, but there are certain principles that guide our reality. And those are really the creative principles of the universe, universal law. And so when you look at universal law, one of the laws of the universe is the law of polarity. And that means that the exact opposite of everything is always here right now. So whenever you have a desire for something, the requisite pieces to fulfill that desire are actually already here, or else you wouldn't have the desire for it. And the key to that is actually raising your awareness to be able to see it, because you can only see the opportunities that are at your current level of awareness.
Right.
So the creative process then becomes, how do we raise our levels of awareness to be able to see all the opportunities that are right there, right now?
So when they say you don't have to know the how, in this case, it's the creative process and how you do it, but it's not necessarily having to be aware of the how.
Yeah, that's a great question, because the universe, it's the universe's job to take care of the how. It's our job to move into action with consistency to take the next step. And so what my experience is, what my clients experience is when they start to live in this level of awareness, the next step is always revealed. You don't get the whole plan at once. The next step is always revealed, and it's your job to step into that step, to actually take the action to that step. And once we take the action and we're in it, sometimes we get the results that we expect we're going to get, and sometimes we don't. And if we don't get the results that we expect, it just means we're either winning or learning, right? Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. We're either winning or learning. We're either getting the results that we want, or we're learning some valuable piece of the puzzle that we need to put the next piece in. So we have, you know, like you build a puzzle, right? I love this creative analogy. You build a puzzle. And what do people do? They tend to look for the flat pieces along the border first. And once you fill in the flat pieces, then you could start adding those pieces in. Sometimes you have to learn where the next piece goes first before you can fit it in.
I love that. Winning or learning too. That's amazing. Yeah. Thanks. We're either winning or learning. Yeah. That's going to be a little mantra going on today. Thank you for that. Wow. Yes. And we got that's amazing. We have to step into the next one as it is revealed.
Yes. Yes.
Whew. Okay. Law of vibration.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the law of vibration basically says that it's where the law of attraction comes from. The law of attraction is actually a subsidiary law, but the law of vibration is essentially, we are all energy. It's funny, I was writing a post right before I got on with you about this. We are actually, this is quantum physics. So everything that I talk about is also based in science. The sciences that have become the language for mysticism, which is really interesting. So we are 0.00, there's four zeros, 0.00001% matter. 0.00001% matter. The rest of us is energy. We live in an energetic universe. And so the law of vibration is essentially the energy that you are putting out is the first cause of the effect that you're experiencing. And so what you're getting back is based on the energy always returns to. So wherever you're putting the energy out is coming back to the source of origin, bringing all types of things with it.
I'm sorry, the sound just got a little wonky there. I don't know if you just got a call coming in.
Oh, no.
But it just got wonky. Maybe.
Okay. So
now it's good. Now it's good.
Okay. What part did you miss?
So basically you were saying the first case of what you put out is what you're getting back, and then it started to get kind of stretched out.
Oh, it always returns to its source of origin, right? So the energy always comes back in like type of things. So it may not, like, I'm going to give you a positive experience of this, right? I really truly believe in giving value all the time. So regardless of where I show up, even if it's on a networking call, my goal is, how can I give the most value to this person on this call? Now, I am not necessarily expecting
expecting that client, that call, or whoever I'm on the call with, that person to become a client. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So the value that I'm putting out there may or may not come back from that person, but it will come back to me in some form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I've learned so much about law of vibration, I think it's beautiful. And I think I appreciate that actually more than law of attraction, because I was just actually on a podcast talking about this yesterday. And I feel like that's such a heavy-handed word, or I feel like it's heavy-handed, law of attraction, because I feel like I know that I can beat myself up about things because I'm like, well, I'm thinking it, I'm doing all these things, why aren't I getting it? But I believe that that law of vibration and actually where your belief is and how you're feeling has more of an impact than that word law of attraction.
Yeah. And the other thing I have to say is the thing that you just talked about is so common. I see it in all my clients. I love to use analogies. I think people can really relate to analogies. And what you just described is you planted a seed, you watered it, you got and made sure it had ample sunlight, and you keep digging it up to check if it's growing.
Right.
So that's what people are doing and not realize that's what they're doing by asking that question, like, I'm doing all the right things, why isn't it happening yet? And that is the biggest thing that I see as an impediment for high achievers, is they feel like they're doing all the right things, but they're not seeing the results yet. There's a variety of reasons for that.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing, but yeah, mm-hmm. It's true. Can't keep digging up the seed. It's not going to grow.
Right. Exactly. And if it has started to get roots and it's really starting to grow, but you dig it up, then you end up killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I think it's just a funny story. If anything, terms of endearment, who has seen terms of endearment here? Which they mark as a comedy, which I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
But that first scene where she's checking on her the baby, and she keeps checking to see if it's breathing, and she keeps she keeps walking in, and she's just like checking, and then that's all you see in the beginning is in and out, and then you hear the husband in the background saying, "Honey, it's called sleep. Leave her alone." And then she finally shakes the crib. The baby starts crying and she goes, "That's better." And she walks away, which I did to my children. I have to say, I will admit, not the best parenting technique, but yeah, with my daughter, because my son didn't sleep through the night till he was two. She came home and slept the first night through, scared the shit out of me. I just kept checking on her. That didn't happen.
That story.
That didn't happen again for a long time. That seed got pulled up to the surface. So anyway, if anybody has done that, not one of my proudest moments, but yeah, put it in the chat below. Okay, so before we move on to the second question, I just want to go back to what I titled this, Scaling Income and Impact While Creating Time Freedom. So can we touch on that before? I know we're going to dive deeper.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
One of my favorite topics. That's what I do.
Yeah, it's what you do.
It's what I do. What piece in particular would you like me to elaborate on?
So basically, people are in a place where they're like, oh, God, I'm in this transition space. And how do I bring, I want freedom, but I want income. I want it to grow.
Yes. And you know, the tone of the way you just said that, I think aptly describes it, which is that most people don't believe they can have both. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's where I start, is I'm going to call it you can call it an economy thinking, as opposed to first class thinking. You can call it a middle class thinking, most of us who grew up in a working class, middle class, or professional homes, like your parents were doctors or lawyers, grew up with this idea that we have to work hard to succeed. Oh, if you just work harder, you'll get that grade. If you just work harder, then you'll be successful in life. And so we've been programmed to believe that success comes only with hard work, and we don't actually value things that come easy. We've been taught that things that come easy aren't, you know, it's like they're not worthwhile, that you actually have to work hard for them. There's a mistrust of things that come easy, but it's a myth. It's not true at all. And so what ends up happening is that people end up creating things much harder than they have to be because they don't believe that it can come easy. They don't actually believe that they can make the income and impact. And to me, you know, I'm all about making more money, but making money is actually a byproduct of the impact you make. It's a byproduct of the value that you give. And the byproduct of the value that people buy from you. And so as a result, most people think, oh, if I'm making, let's say I'm making 100 grand right now in my business, for me to double, triple, or even make 7 figures, it means that I have to exponentially increase the amount of time that I have to work to do that. And I'm already maxed out in my time. So how could I possibly work anymore? And so what I do is many, many entrepreneurs who come to me are working, you know, 50 to 80 hour weeks. I have this one client who's in my group program, and she's literally been working with me not even 2 months yet. And she was working 56 hours a week. That's what she calculated. And I basically sat down with her and I looked at where she was spending her time, how she was spending it. And within 1 week, we cut 21 hours off of her work week.
Oh my gosh.
That's it. 21 hours off of her work week. Actually, the first week she went down to, I think 40 hours. And then the next week she went down to 21 less. So she went down to 35. And she was like, I never believed that this would have been possible, especially because most people, the way that they have you, you know, when people help people scale businesses, when coaches and mentors help people scale businesses, they usually do that by saying you have to have a team to help you work less. But I look at it from a very practical perspective. I mean, I was a lawyer. I have this very practical side of me. How are you spending your time? What should you be spending your time doing? And also from an energetic perspective of how does your day flow? Where would it be better for you to be doing these things in your day? And just from doing that without even having her hire another team member, she was able to cut off 21 hours a week. Now we're talking about the next team member who's the right person for her, you know, to scale to the next level so that she can cut back even more, or not even cut back more hours, but like literally double the amount of clients she could take in the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm. So are you finding that, like in this scenario, are people doing these repetitive things? Or are they just putting like miscellaneous stuff where we're almost kind of like chasing our tail and...
Both. So most people tend to be really busy. Like if you asked people if they were working hard, most people are working really hard. I mean, there's a handful of clients that I've had that aren't, but most people are. And what they don't realize is that busy is not productive. They've actually done studies, Hollis, that say that the average person who works 8 hours a day is actually only productive for 3.5 to 4 of those hours. So what's going on with the other amount of time? There's distractions, there's multitasking, there's working on things that aren't important. Most people are actually subconsciously avoiding the things that they need to do to move their business forward the most. They don't realize they are because they're really busy. So they'll tell you they're working really hard, but they're not actually working in the types of activities that would have the biggest bang for their buck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally understand that. Recently, I saw just kind of inspired me with this Google Calendar and time blocking and putting everything in there, including when you're going to eat, when mm-hmm. you're going to exercise, when mm-hmm. you're going to like everything, when you're going to make your phone calls. And I found it very helpful, and I can make it colorful, and I can make it. And I've just found it to be a much better use of time rather than sitting there being like, okay, what was I going to work on?
Exactly. Exactly. I do have my clients do some time blocking, but you also have to leave a little leeway in your day for those extraneous, unexpected things that come along without beating yourself up that you then didn't get XYZ done because it was time blocked. And, you know, so that's part of it. I mean, one of the things that, for example, let's talk about content creation, because I create a lot of content, right? So that's another way I'm creative. Mm-hmm. I create a lot of content. And I'll tell you a funny story about that if you're interested.
Of course. But,
okay, so let me just say this one other piece first, and then I'll go back to the creative content piece. So when I look at creating content, now you can create video content and you can create like written content. There's a variety of different kinds of content you can create when you're talking about, you know, creating content for your business for social media. And one of the things that you can do, I suggest, for example, if you're doing videos, I don't necessarily suggest scripting out the entire video, but having bullet points of the things that you want to talk to so that you're following, you know, the thread that you want to follow in your videos. Now, writing takes one area of the brain. Recording the video takes another area of the brain. So I would have my clients do all of their bullet points for their video in one, you know, time block, and all of the recordings for their video in another time block, so that you're using the same areas of the brain. Mm-hmm. So that you're actually literally doing like-minded activities together. And then when you do that, it frees up a lot of time.
I love that.
Yeah, but also there's another piece to that, which is so many people don't realize how much of the day they spend in stress, some form of stress in the stress response. And when you're in your parasympathetic nervous system, when you're in that fight, flight, or freeze, even if it's a mild case of it, it literally shuts off your creativity. You cannot access your creativity. So everything that you have to do takes so much longer to do. And when you learn how to get into your parasympathetic nervous system, to get into a more relaxed state, then you can move into flow. And so a big part of the way that I help my clients scale their businesses is by learning how to get in flow on demand, which actually goes back to my story, because 3 years ago, I had a coach who said to me, "You're not posting enough on social media. You need to write more posts." And I was like, "But every post takes me 2 hours. It's extremely painful for me. Like, I've got all of this stuff going on in my head, but getting it out onto paper or into my computer was like really painful." And so what I realized is that if I focused on the things that made me feel like got me out of my head and into my body, because we spend so much of our life from our necks up, that if I got out of my head and into my body. So the three things for me that helped me do that is actually coaching. I'm really present when I coach, dancing, and meditating. And so before I'd sit down to write a post, I would literally get up and dance for 5 minutes. I'd sit down, and I went from taking 2 hours a post to taking a half an hour a post.
Yeah, I love it. It's so true. You're making me think, like, you know, being an art teacher for 30 years and teaching in many situations, a lot of it is meeting people where they are and listening to where they are. Mm-hmm. Because you get a lot of pushback, even with kids starting at a younger age. I don't know. I don't want to be here. I'm into sports. I'm into this. I don't want to be in the art room. And then you get that from adults as well because of, you know, all of our life that we've been through. But it's so much about, okay, well, you don't see yourself as being able to draw this, even though I would kind of focus on not drawing so much, because so many people have so many walls against it. I'd be like, "Oh, okay, so you like sports? So what's your favorite team?" "Oh, Cowboys." "What color are their outfits?" "Blue and silver." "Oh, so what if you did something using the colors of the Cowboys? Or what if you created your own team and you could then design your own colors, their own outfits, their own this kind of thing?" And then they get excited about it. Then they have some kind of investment in it.
I love that.
And then their walls come down, and then they're more open to hearing other things, because it's not immediately a defensive of, "I can't do that," where it's a stress.
Yes. Yes.
But they're more open because they found that they could be successful in a part of it. And then they're like more willing.
Yes. They're more engaged. You know, you're speaking to their interests. So I love that you do that. which, you know, in certain ways is what I do with my clients, because they love what they do. That's why they're doing it. Right. They just don't understand how to do it at a different level. And as you said, it comes from all of that programming that we've had mostly before we were 7 years old.
And I think it's a very important point to realize too, that when you realize what your strengths are, so you said coaching, you're very present, dancing and meditating, and you do that before something. I think it's just, I love sharing that with people to be like, I mean, before, honestly, I come on a podcast, I play music and I dance around and because it feels good, because I want to move my body, because I'm going to be sitting for an hour, but I want to move my body. I want to just hear something that lifts up my vibe, and I want to scream and sing out loud if that makes me feel good.
Yeah, love that. Love that. And it also then opens you up for more possibility. It opens you up to allow yourself to be more receptive so that it's not as rigid, like when you enter the podcast space. And then in terms of having a conversation, it's a much more open conversation.
Exactly. Huh, okay, so we're getting close on time. So we're moving to the second question, which is some things that we've mentioned, but going to expand it a little bit more. So again, I want to welcome the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here. Please feel free to put any questions or comments into the chat box where we can see them. So incorporating more creativity into your own life. I know that you said cooking is one way, obviously through what you do and through your coaching and everything. Anything else that you can mention that it enters your life in that way?
Well, I write a lot of, I mean, my business itself, I feel like, is so creative. Like, I feel like my business is the perfect melding of right brain and left brain things. So much of what I do is get out of my own way to allow sort of, I'm almost going to say divine download to come through me and be present with my clients. And being present allows for so much more creativity. It really does. Like being in the past and projecting your past onto the future, it just gets you more of the same results. It's like living Groundhog Day over and over again with
right.
Summer, right?
So true.
It is. So being present is really where it's at. So I look at what are the things in my life that really bring me present. So I do a lot of journaling. I do a lot of meditation. I'm learning to play guitar right now. That's another way that it, you know, my creativity gets expressed. But I do feel so much more creative in my day-to-day just because of the way my business is. I mean, I put up social media content 5 days a week on 3 different platforms. So that's a lot of content that I write, you know. And that all, like, it's no longer painful. You know, that's the key about it. It's like, I didn't realize that I hadn't written a post for tomorrow because I batch my content because, again, like-minded activities. And I didn't realize I didn't write a post for tomorrow. So I was just writing it. And I'm like, okay, this is awesome. Let's just do it. What am I gonna write about? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's more of a space of allowing rather than now, obviously, I have a schedule. And what you said about, you know, time tracking or blocking is really important because when I schedule things, then it frees me up to be able to have some time to be spontaneous. When I don't schedule things as a single mom, then I don't get stuff done. Mm-hmm. So I schedule a lot of my day, but I also allow for freedom and flexibility within that schedule.
Yeah, I think that's key to be able to. Yeah. So like you said earlier, you don't beat yourself up about it. And berate yourself because that does absolutely nothing. But it's kind of also knowing what's going on. And I like how you're talking about batching your content. And a mentor that I have, she said, which has just really helped me, that she sets her timer for 20 minutes, which is how long it's going to take to write a post. Mm. And talks a lot about getting personal. You know, your people want to know you. They want to hear your story. They want to know who you are. So it's kind of being vulnerable and taking off the layers so people can know you. And the pictures that you share, pictures don't necessarily have to relate to the story, but they're taken by you. Mm-hmm. it's just kind of opened up to this whole different way of thinking. And I feel like for me, when I've become more vulnerable and exposed these things about myself, I'm like, whew, that felt really good to share that for me. Like, it doesn't have to be for somebody else. For me, it's like that whole working from the inside out instead of the outside in.
I love that. I love that. And that's actually the work I do as well. And you got great advice. I will tell you that, because I do think it's really important to be vulnerable. So many people are only vulnerable in the process, like after it's happened and they've moved on from it. And then they can talk about how they've moved through it rather than being in the midst of it. And I put out a post a couple of weeks ago. I'm actually dealing with Lyme disease and co-infections. And there was like literally for 2 weeks, I could either barely get off my couch or I would put, you know, a chair in the lawn and just sit in the sun and, you know, just work on healing because I couldn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, and the post really was about how many people, because so many of my clients, they'll go on vacation or something will not work in their business, or maybe their child will get ill, where their children will be home for the summer and they'll be like, oh God, I'm going to lose momentum in my business. And I was like, well, if you think you are, you will, you know? And my point about that post was with Lyme, with my inability to connect on social media the way I normally would, I was actually having more opportunities in those 2 weeks than I did in the entire 2 months before that, mm-hmm. because I wasn't stressed about it, because I believed everything would be okay.
Right. Right. Wow. I just have to say, I'm sorry that you're going through that. You are like the third person lately I've heard that with Lyme, that that's what they're working through.
Yeah. This year I live in one of the highest Lyme areas in the country. And this year, almost everybody I knew had Lyme.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're getting to the top of the hour. And as we do that, the third question, which we'll roll into, which is kind of like everything we've been talking about, but just kind of putting it in a nice little box. So why is creativity important?
Wow. Okay. So creativity, you know, I'm trying to think about how I want to say this. I truly believe that everybody was encoded with a purpose. We were born with a purpose. We were born as an expression of the divine in a bigger way. And when we don't express that, the expression of that purpose is the creative process. The expression of our life purpose is the creative process. And when we don't express it, we feel like we're dying inside. You know, it literally feels like we are drying up, and in many ways we are. Because if we're not growing, if we're not expressing what we came here to express, then there'll be this constant level of discontent. Mm-hmm. So by consistently expressing in expansiveness, so everything in the universe is expanding every minute, and that includes us. And so trying to stay the same, the only constant is change. Trying to stay the same is, not only does it not have a growth mindset, but it's like a stagnant pool. There is not a lot of creativity other than for mosquitoes and mold in a stagnant pool.
Right? Oh my God. So, yes.
So the idea is to be the flowing water, you know, to be the river that flows and not trying to swim upstream, but actually swimming downstream and expressing more life. And the more life we can express, the more that we get to experience more life, more joy, more love, more impact in our lives. And that to me is truly the creative process.
Holy crud. Do you hear this, people? Oh my God. Yes, you're getting some love here. Oh my gosh, absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Go with the flow. So refreshing.
Cool. Yeah. The other piece about that that I'd love, you know, y'all to think about is like when there's a water and when there's a river rushing downstream and it's coming to a cliff, does the water think, oh my God, I can't go over the cliff. I've got to sidetrack. I've got to go backwards. Or does it just go for it knowing that it's going to land and it create rainbows on the way down? And that's what life is meant to be. You know, so we tend to think these big things that we're going to experience is like going to be, you know, crashing against the rocks like hardcore, but it actually is just expressing itself in a different way.
A good friend of mine told a story where basically the family was at their house, family's house in Maine, and the kids would jump off the rocks, which were not a crazy amount high, but were high enough. And there was a certain time to do it because that's when the tide was right. If the tide wasn't right, then you would fall into the sand and that wouldn't be good. So the kids were jumping and she was taking pictures and they were like, Mom, we have to jump. And when she tells this story and she was like, no, I'll take pictures. And she was like, the inner voice said, you know what? You have to jump. Because if you don't, you are going to like question yourself and be like, why didn't you jump? And she did. And she said her life changed at that moment.
Yeah, I so relate to that. Right before COVID, I was at a, I guess you could call it a kind of poetry slam, but it wasn't poetry. It was storytelling. So a story slam. And I went with a friend who wanted to tell a story that night. I didn't even know what the theme was, but I started to hear some of the people speaking. I was like, I have to tell a story. And I went through that same process. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not prepared. I didn't think about this. I didn't even know what the theme was until I got here. I'm not going to do it. And I was like, if I don't do this, I am going to regret this moment. And I threw my name in the hat and I went for it. And it was one of the most liberating things. And I really felt like it shifted a lot because right after that, I started getting invited on podcast after podcast. It was like, wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Was your voice all crackly? Were you sweating? Were you like,
oh,
shaking?
Totally. I was like, I have no idea if I'm even making sense. And was what's coming out of my mouth even making sense? People came up to me and they told me it was one of the best stories of the night. And I was like, I don't remember it. Like, I was just like, I was shaking. My knees were shaking, of course, the whole nine yards.
But I think it's so, yes, these are the moments. It's kind of like when the spotlight is so on and we are just scared to death and we have no recollection of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's really a higher self download. It's just kind of like, whew, God, talk about freedom.
Yes. Yes. That's liberation. You know, and that's the river going downstream. That's liberation. That's what we get to experience. We get to experience the truth of who we are in our most liberated self by going downstream and stop trying to swim upstream.
When my son was about 6 or 7 on XBN, there's a kid's story hour. I don't remember her name right now, but she's amazing. She's been doing this for like 25 years. And she'd have kids call in. So there was a question of what animal do you see yourself as? So my son wanted to call in. We went through this whole thing of, you know, he wanted to, he was scared. He wanted to, he was scared. We got through, he hung up. It was just this whole thing. and it became like, I was coaching him through this. I'm like, Jared, it's going to be okay, babe. It's going to be okay. And he was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. So anyway, long story long, he gets through and he's just kind of like, it was just took a lot to get there. And he gets through and she says, so Jared, what kind of animal are you? And he goes, an eel. And there's a pause. And this is like totally my child. She goes, well, Jared, I have to ask, why an eel? And he goes, because I'm shocking.
I love that. Oh my God. That's awesome.
Which is totally awesome. But besides loving my child and all of this, but I tell that story because like you said, it took a lot to get him there. If I wasn't there being like, come on, Jared, you can do this. He would have given up, but he really wanted to.
Right.
But he was scared.
And what ends up happening is when we don't go for the things that we want, when we don't go for it, it chips away at our self-esteem. right? We think less of ourselves because we didn't go for it and we really want to. So putting ourselves out there is such a key part. You know, like people want to make an impact, but you can only make an impact if you're willing to be seen.
Elena, can you please tell people how they can find you?
Of course, I would love to. So the biggest way to find me, I would say the easiest way, of course, you can go to my website, which is at www.elenaschwartz.com. But I hang out on LinkedIn the most. So I'm on all social media platforms, but the depth of content I have the most is on LinkedIn. So if you'd like to know more about what I do, you can definitely come check me out by just typing my name, Alaina Schwartz, Schwartz, and I'll come up and you'll be able to, you know, I try to offer as much value as I can. So you'll find a lot of, you know, great, valuable content.
I so appreciate you taking this hour to chat with us.
Oh my God, my pleasure. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege, Hollis. Thank you so much for having me.
So much fun. Actually, before I give my closing, is there anything else that you feel like you need to share before I go into that?
I would really just say that like I said about this purpose, like you were built for this. You were made to do this. Like, don't hold yourself back. Your life will be so much more fulfilling. The number one regret of the dying is not having gone for what they wanted. They never regret anything that they went for that didn't work out, but they regret not having gone for their dreams fully. And so my purpose is to help make sure that other people don't end up in that position, because you never know when that day is going to come. And so being able to live each day to the fullest of who you are will bring so much joy and satisfaction in your life. And if I can be there in any way to support that, you know, it would be my honor.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Step into your purpose. You were made for this. Oh my gosh. So this space is all about inspiring each other, sharing these stories and connection. So please like, follow, and share so we can lift each other up and share these stories. Because I believe with my heart that we have always needed this, but we need it now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
Mm-hmm. More than ever, this connection. So much goodness. So I appreciate you being here live, catching the replay. And I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to speaking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.